me well. Hear me what I'm not saying. I am not saying that every cough that you have is a demon. I'm not going to take cough syrup. I'm just going to cast devils out of me. No, no, no. I you didn't hear that here.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. This is Joshua Hollick, your host with Pastor Mark Jobe of New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, thank you for this holiday season message. There is healing for the hurting. There's so many people here in our city and around the world, even listening today, who feel like, you know, the holidays are supposed to be this great time. Everybody's getting together, but I'm not. I'm lonely. There's depression. And it just kind of amplifies the pain, amplifies the difficulty. And I love where you go with this message.
Yeah, Joshua, this is one of my favorite stories of a person that's hurting because she's ostracized. She's broken down. I mean, she's religious, but marginalized. And I love the fact because a lot of people, I think, can relate to this woman that's been bent over for 18 years. She's hurting relationally, spiritually, feeling a little bit outcast. Like, and Jesus shows up and he touches her. He speaks to her. He embraces her. He gives her a future and a hope. And I believe that, Joshua, today there's people that are listening that you think, man, I am really hurting. Maybe you just lost a loved one. Maybe you're going through divorce. Maybe you expected to be married by this time and you're not married. Maybe your kids have distanced themselves from you. I don't know what your point of hurt is. But I want you to know, if you're listening to this, that this could be one of the darkest Christmases you go through, or you could turn this around and in the midst of your hurt, allow the presence of Jesus to invade that space. And that's what we're praying that will happen through this message, that in the midst of your hurting, you would allow Jesus to step in and change your circumstances.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Mark. And this message is called There Is Healing for the Hurting. We're in Luke chapter 13 from a series called Christmas Brings Hope. If you want to hear more from the series, go to PastorMarkJobe.com and download the Straight Talk app. You can hear the whole series. You can share a message with others and be encouraged. God bless you. Here's the message.
He refers to Satan as the person that bound her. Now, it's really important to understand this because sometimes our hurt comes in our spirit, our soul, or body. And when God begins to heal us, he heals our spirit, our soul, and our body. Now, hear me well. Hear me what I'm not saying. I am not saying that every cough that you have is a demon. I'm not going to take cough syrup. I'm just going to cast devils out of me. No, no, no. I you didn't hear that here. I'm not saying that every illness that you have is because something spiritual is going on there. But I am saying that we are all affected, body, soul, and spirit. For example, I may have resentment towards an ex-spouse who has taken me to divorce court, sued me for everything that I have, has custody of my children, and has lambasted my name, torn me apart, and my soul is full of anger at what they've done and how they've treated me and how they've behaved towards me. So my mind keeps rehearsing how much damage they did, how much hurt they brought to me. So my mind is full of anger and resentment and unforgiveness. So I go into depression because I just keep thinking about what they did to me and I'm angry in my soul. But because I'm unforgiving and angry in my soul, it affects my spirit. Because my spirit, when there's unforgiveness in my soul, my spirit cannot experience the joy of God, because when I do not forgive, then the forgiveness of God is not experienced in my soul. So suddenly I feel far from God. I'm not joyful in my spirit. I can't worship like I used to worship. So it started in my soul, but it's affected my spirit. Now, I'm resentful and angry inside. I'm tensed up. My spirit's depressed. I feel like God isn't around. And so suddenly, I'm not sleeping very well at night. And I wonder, I change my mattress around, flip it over, get another kind of mattress. But I'm still, I wake up in the middle of the night. I'm not sleeping well. My blood pressure's going up. I go to the doctor. He says, wow, your blood pressure's super high. And you say, yeah, and my neck kind of hurts. And I'm not eating well. I have ulcers in my stomach. And he says, well, what you need is you need medication to lower your blood pressure. So you start taking medication that lowers your blood pressure and it takes away your appetite. And he says, well, take another pill that's going to help you for your appetite and for your blood pressure. And so you take a pill for your blood pressure, a pill for your appetite, and then you can't sleep at night, and take another pill to help you sleep at night. So now you're taking 6 or 7 pills. And you're feeling sick and you're feeling lousy and you just, your body's down, you're getting depressed, and the doctor's treating you with pills. You go to a counselor and he's treating your mind, and at church they're treating your spirit. But hey, where did it all start? Are you physically sick? Oh yeah, you are. But the root of your problem is not a physical problem. The root of your problem is a soul problem that's dragged your spirit into it and dragged your body down as well. Because we are interconnected, body, soul, and spirit. And if you live with a dysfunction in one of those areas, in your body, your soul, or your spirit, if you've lived with something that's broken for a long time, it tends to warp your entire person. If I grew up with anger in my spirit, in my soul, it shows up on my face. And I get angry wrinkles on my face. Have you ever seen someone and you think, man, that person must have had a rough life? Don't point to anybody here. You've seen someone that kind of shows up on their face like, man, rough life. Because whatever you're experiencing in your soul and your spirit is affected in your body. They tell us that close to 75% of the people that go to see doctors are seeing doctors because of what's called psychosomatic illnesses. In other words, an illness that was birthed in your soul or your spirit, but that it affects your body. It's a real disease, but it's not solved simply by giving you medicine in your body. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in doctors, and I believe in counselors, and I believe in prayer. And if you come to me and say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm here, and I'm sick, but, you know, I'm not going to go see a doctor because I'm walking in faith. I'm going to say, no, go see a doctor. Because I don't think seeing a doctor takes away from your faith. Hello? How many of you know that God has given us doctors as well? And I think it's the ultimate foolishness and ultimate sense of irresponsibility. I hear news reports of people that have sick kids and they're basically dying with fever and they could have medication, but they say, no, we're going to walk in faith and just pray over them and not go see a doctor. And then the kid dies and it's like, why didn't you see a doctor? I think that's ultimate sense of responsibility. Listen, you'll never hear from me that going to a doctor is a sign of lack of faith. If you're struggling with finances, pray over them, but go see an accountant, please. If your car's not working, hey, I don't mind if you pray over the hood, but go see a mechanic too. No, Pastor, no, it's lack of faith. I'm just going to pray over my car. Well, listen, you can pray all you want, but I think God wants you to change your oil once in a while and not just pray that it refuels on itself, okay? So see, specialists in those areas is not a problem, but here's what I want you to know. Listen to me well. And I'm not against antidepressants. I'm not against an antidepressant if it's a temporary solution. But here's what I know, that most of our depression is not physical, it's soul and it's spirit. And a physical antidepressant will get you through a period of time, but unless you deal with the soul and the spirit, you're putting a band-aid on the problem because we are connected, body, soul, and spirit. Amen? So here's the way it works. This woman This woman had been living with her spiritual dysfunction so long that it affected her soul in shame and a sense of a lack of joy. She was bound by a spirit and it affected her. It had affected her physically, and I believe it begins to become our identity. I think when she thought of herself as the bent over woman. When people thought of her, they thought, who are you talking about? You know, the bent over lady. So after a while, whatever your hurt is, whatever your dysfunction is, it starts shaping your whole person. It starts shaping the way you look at yourself, the way you look at God, the way you look at people, the way you relate to people. If you're broken in one area of your life and really hurting in one area of your life, it becomes so powerful in your life that it starts shaping who you are. You grew up angry, and everybody knew that you would blow your temper and you were violent when you got angry. So on the street, your name was Mad Dog. When you thought of yourself, you think of yourself as Mad Dog. Well, why? Oh, what's his name? Oh, his name's Jose. No. His name's Mad Dog. Why? You start thinking of yourself as angry. You start viewing yourself like, who's going to hurt me next? And you start getting a reputation. Pretty soon, your anger dominates your life. It warps your sense of identity. You can't show compassion because you see yourself, I'm the angry person. Sometimes we've allowed our hurt, a dysfunction of our spirit, soul, or body to become so big that it begins to shape who we are and how we see ourselves. Some of you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, and whatever your hurt is defines who you are. You view yourself that way. When you talk to people, you see yourself that way, because inside there's hurt that desperately needs the healing power of God. This woman had allowed her spiritual ailment to define the entirety of who she was. So I want you to understand that some of us may be hurting so long in a certain particular way that it actually begins to shape our entire being. There are 26 records of miracles that Jesus heals someone physically. 7 of those are caused by demonic influence. So I want you to understand that we are connected, body, soul, and spirit, and that we have to address the issues of our body, soul, and spirit. Number 3, if you're taking notes, write this down. The power of healing is released only when you respond to the invitation of Jesus. Notice that that when Jesus was in the synagogue, the Bible says that in verse 12, when Jesus saw her, I love that little phrase. When Jesus saw her, some of us think that we're invisible to God.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, There is Healing for the Hurting. It's from our brand new series called Christmas Brings Hope. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 13. His message, there is healing for the hurting.
We have this idea that somehow we just turned 7 billion people on planet Earth. Oh, 7 billion is a lot of people. And some of us have this idea that somehow we're just a number in the crowd. That among the 7 billion people, 1.6 or so in China, 1.3 million in India. And how in the world can God keep track of me? I mean, I'm just a lost face in the crowd. He's never going to see me. I mean, what are my little issues to this God? Does he even care? Does he even see? Does he even notice? I mean, he's the God of the universe. I'm sure he's got more bigger things to do than worry about my issues and inferiority complexes and hurt and loneliness that I have. I mean, isn't he trying to solve the problems in Egypt and the starvation in Ethiopia and the killings in Sudan and the rumors that the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. I mean, how can God keep track of me? And I just want you to know that this word is for you. And when Jesus saw her, he noticed her. He saw her pain. He knew the issues of her soul immediately. When Jesus saw her in the crowd, there's something about suffering that attracts the heart of God. There's something about pain that screams out to God. The psalmist says God is near to the brokenhearted. There's something about brokenheartedness and pain that attracts the attention of God. And the Bible says when Jesus saw her, he called her. And then he spoke to her. And then this woman that most people would reject, that some people said, well, she's like that because of her sin. Jesus, Son of God, he touched her. And I believe that's the way that God works, is that the way that God works is that we have to respond to the invitation of God. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus has come that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. I believe that Jesus knows every individual that is here. He knows your thoughts. He knows your story better than you know your own story. He knows your mind and he knows your heart. He knows your pain. He's seen every time you cried yourself to sleep in your own pillow when you thought no one else was looking. Listen, he knows about those flashes of suicidal thoughts that have gone through your mind and no one else knows about. He knows that sometimes, surrounded by people, you look to the heavens and say, God, I'm lonely. What is this loneliness of my soul? Listen, the things that you have not even dared tell your closest friend, God knows. He sees, he understands, he empathizes. You say, Pastor, how could God ever, ever, ever understand what I'm going through? He's God. When has he ever been lonely, thirsty, hungry, felt abandoned? You see, that was part of the plan of God to send his own son to experience pain and suffering and hurting in a way that he could empathize with us. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, it says, since then we have a high priest. Who is this high priest? Jesus. Who has passed through heavens. Oh yeah, he knows glory. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. Just without sin. Let us then draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. You know what he's telling us? That Jesus, our high priest, can empathize with our weakness, our pain, and our suffering. He's felt the rejection of man. He's felt the abandonment of people that he loved. He's felt the scourging of his back ripped apart by vicious whipping. He's been spit at, cussed out, rejected. He's gone without food. He's known the sneers of people that he came to help. He's felt the abandonment on the cross. He's carried the sins of every rape, murder, bigotry, hatred, abandonment upon himself. He cried out on the cross because he knew he had to go through it. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Being all God himself, he took upon himself the sins of all humanity. When you approach God and through this high priest, you have not approached someone who cannot relate to your pain and sickness and sorrow. You have a high priest who knows intimately the scourge of pain, the suffering of humanity. He was all God and became all man to be the perfect sacrifice, but in the process to be the perfect empathizer with our sickness and our pain. Jesus called to this woman. This woman responded to his call. I want you to know if there's going to be healing of any kind that happens in your life, it happens when you sense the call of God upon you. She could have stayed in the back and said, no, I don't want to go forward. No, I don't want to come to you. No, I don't want anybody to know that I'm hurting. Jesus saw her and he said, woman, come. She could have stayed there and said, no, if people look at my hurting, they'll know I have problems. I'm not going to act like I have any needs. It's too painful. She could have stayed away thinking, no, what if I come to you and nothing changes? And she could have stayed safe. But instead, when she heard the call of Jesus, she responded, and in her broken way, she made her way to Jesus, limping, broken, stooped over, in shame. But she came to Jesus, believing that maybe somehow, some way, Jesus has the answer. I love what Jesus does. He speaks to her. He doesn't create a big scene. He doesn't wave his arms. He doesn't jump up and down. He's not dramatic. He's not theatrical. He doesn't dance. He doesn't prance. He doesn't yelp. He doesn't holler. He doesn't do flips. He doesn't shake. He doesn't mourn. He doesn't scream. He looks at the woman, and with all the power of God surging through his body, the power of the only begotten of God, the one who walks in perfect harmony with the Father, who is all man and all God, who commands and the universe listens, who speaks and the storms are calm, who can wave his arm and set a star in another course in the heavens, who looks at the sun and can stop it for 24 hours, the God of the universe made man speaks to this woman and says, woman, you are set free. There's no gradual straightening out of her back. There's no progressive healing. The Bible says that immediately the woman stood up straight. Oh, can you fathom that? 18 years. Bent over, robbed of her dignity through a ploy of Satan. 18 years thinking that that is how she had to be the rest of her life. 18 years believing that's her destiny. 18 years thinking no one or nothing can change me. 18 years embracing this is just the way I am. No one can change me. Nothing can solve it. I'm just this way. I'll always be this way. Until the day I die, I will be this way. Some of you have been bound by the lies of the enemy. You think that you can never change. You think that you can never be different. You think that you will go to the grave experiencing the same bondage that you've had for 10, 12, 20 years. But I want you to know that there is a healer that can set the captive free. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible says that Jesus spoke, and woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, with his stripes, we are healed. His name is Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. There'll always be people that oppose, always be people that will fight it, but he has the power to heal.
This has been the second half of Pastor Mark's message called There is Healing for the Hurting, which is from our brand new series called Christmas Brings Hope. Please do join us again on the next Straight Talk for part two, There is Peace for the Distressed. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. You can go to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJob, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find a ton of great messages, a Bible app that will help you with your spiritual walk. And we also would love to invite you this Christmas season to one of our New Life locations. We have 27 life-giving churches, and if you log on to newlifechicago.org, that's newlifechicago.org, you'll find all the locations and the times that we meet. We would love to meet you. Please tell them that you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again on the next Straight Talk as we continue our Jesus, the Story Behind Christmas series. God bless, and have a great night.